Amen. Well, you can be seated. Man, there's an attitude of victory in the house. I like it. I like it. Donnie, did you have to practice patience during any of the 2-year journey? Yes. Praise God. Perseverance. 2 weeks ago, we talked about the fulfilling will of God. We went to 1 Timothy 6:6, and we talked about godliness with contentment is great gain. We went to Psalms 34. We talked about trusting in the Lord, delighting in Him. He would give us our desires. We commit our way to Him. He would bring it to pass. Then resting in the Lord, waiting patiently, and not fretting ourselves. Not letting discouragement set in because of time, which is what Donnie just testified to. And not despising time, but using it. Last week, we talked about not forgetting all God's benefits. Let me tell you, if Donnie had forgotten God's benefits, he wouldn't be living in the benefit. He had to remember it when he couldn't see it. And so do we. We talked about encouraging ourselves in the Lord from 1 Samuel 30 while that time is there. I guarantee you, we tried to encourage Donnie, but Donnie also had times where Donnie had to encourage Donnie. There'll be times when nobody else knows what you're going through. It's not a public thing, or it may be a public thing, and people go on with their lives. And you have to encourage yourself. That's part of what we do on the journey to the manifestation. And I feel that we're to continue in that flow of encouragement this morning. I called it the wait, as in W-A-I-T. There's two different kinds of waits, right? Well, the wait that was talked about in Scripture for us with the Lord is W-A-I-T. It's not weight like it's heavy, right? So I want to start off in Jeremiah 29, and I know Jeremiah 29:11 is used a lot. It's quoted a lot, and it is a beautiful, beautiful verse and a powerful verse. But I want you to understand a little bit more about Jeremiah 29 in its context. And I'm not going to go into a history here. I'm just going to give you an understanding, and you can go back and study it. But this was Jeremiah 29:11 that y'all all love, we all love, was part of a letter that was sent from the prophet Jeremiah and sent from Jerusalem to God's people who were in exile in Babylon. And y'all, they weren't there for 6 months. They weren't there for 2 years. And so they needed encouragement. Now, we talked about time and the delay, whether it's just timing, whether it's us maturing. We talked about that in the last couple of weeks. But a lot of times when time sets in, we start doing what we talked about with Abram and Sarah, and we start trying to help God out, and we start trying to operate ahead of our maturity. And we start looking for answers in other places other than God. And that's what God's people were doing. They started looking to false prophets who were prophesying that what God had promised, which was that He would return them to Jerusalem. That was God's word to them. But these false prophets started giving. Remember the scripture it talks about itching ears? Like we're looking for what we want to hear. So these false prophets started, Sarah, they started telling them what they wanted to hear. And so Jeremiah 29 is born out of that situation. So I'm going to start in verse 4. It says, "This is what the Lord Almighty, the God of Israel, says to all those I carried into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon." You know what he's saying right there? I'm the Lord God Almighty, and it's my word that matters. Not your neighbor's word, not a false prophet's word. Because we start looking for what we want to hear. He said, "Build houses and settle down." Remember where they are? They're in exile in Babylon. They're not where they're supposed to be. They're not where God promised them they would be. They're in exile. They're not in Jerusalem. He said, build houses and settle down. Plant gardens and eat what your gardens produce. Marry and have sons and daughters. Find wives for your sons. See, that's scriptural. And give your daughters in marriage so that they too may have sons and daughters. Increase in number there and do not decrease. Can I just pause right there for a minute? While you wait, live. Live. Don't go in a dark hole and sit there and wait for what God's... Don't go in a dark hole and wait for your healing. Live. Live. Don't go in a hole and wait to prosper. Do. God can bless what you set your hands to. Do. Don't, when you look at the promises of God, you don't sit and wait doing nothing. Waiting doesn't mean doing nothing. In fact, while you're waiting to see God's promise fulfilled in your life will probably be the most productive time of your life. God's going to show you things to do. He's going to instruct you on things to do that are going to open up the doors that need to be opened up. He's going to grow you. You're going to be mature. And I'm not saying he didn't send these things to punish you or hurt you. Right? We don't have to go back over John 10:10, do we? Maybe we do. The thief cometh not but to steal, kill, and destroy. But I've come that you might have life and have life more abundantly. So God, when he's trying to get us out of something into something, he'll give us instruction. We saw that with Abraham and Sarah. I'm going to repeat that. While you're waiting to see God's promise manifest in your life, that will probably be the most productive time of your life. It won't be sitting and doing nothing.
That's good. Come on, that's good.
Dylan, you missed the first part. Let me go back. No, I'm just kidding. Do you remember, hold your spot in Jeremiah 29, because we're going back there. But do you remember the parable that Jesus taught in Luke 19? And he's got the 10 servants. And you don't have to turn there. You can if you want to. But Luke 19, I'm just going to pick out something here. He says, and as they heard these things, he added and spake a parable, because they were thinking that Jesus' return, that the kingdom and everything was going to immediately happen. He says, and as they heard these things, he added and spake a parable because he was nigh unto Jerusalem, and because they thought that the kingdom of God should immediately appear. I don't believe he just put that in there for no reason. He's fixing to teach us something in this parable. He said, therefore, a certain nobleman went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and to return. And he called his 10 servants and delivered them 10 pounds. And he said unto them, thank you, Tanya, my one-star student. Occupy. Occupy till I come. And I know Christians are just waiting on the coming of the Lord. No, occupy. Yeah. The kingdom's to be growing now. It's not going to grow then. If it's going to grow, it's to grow now. And so he says, occupy. And that's as far as we're going to read in there. Occupy till I come. When you look that word occupy up, it means to carry on. To carry on, to busy oneself. You remember Jesus, when they found him in the temple when he was 12, he said, I'm about my Father's business. That's what we're to busy ourselves with.
Amen. That's right.
Be about your Father's business while you wait for what God has promised you in his word. The God-given dreams that he's placed in your heart that you haven't seen yet those dreams and that calling or that thing that he's shown you or you feel like you're supposed to do seems to be sitting there on a shelf. It's not sitting on a shelf. It is developing. It is developing. Now back to Jeremiah 29. I hope you were obedient and held your place. That's when those devices come in handy, huh, Dylan? Also, seek the peace while you're waiting, while you're occupying. Also seek the peace and prosperity of the city to which I have carried you into exile. Pray to the Lord for it, because if it prospers, you too will prosper. You know, in the season that you're in, even for us waiting for the coming of Jesus, we're occupying. We're going to pray for this place that he's put us in. Right? You should start praying now for godly, righteous young leaders to be brought up. Don't wait until the year of election. They need to be being prepared now, and I believe they are. But even in your own life, believe that the season that you're in, pray that it be prosperous, that it be productive. You know the account of Joseph's life? It's in Genesis 37 if you want to take note of it. It's chapters. But if you go back and you study, we also, those of us who are old enough to have grown up with flannel graph boards in Sunday school, the coat of many colors, Joseph, okay? And the journey that he went on from being a good guy wearing his coat of many colors, being favored by his father, having a dream of leadership. He had a dream from God. It wasn't a manufactured dream. God showed him the leadership that he was going to walk in. He shared that dream, lesson. He shared that dream, made his brothers jealous. They wanted to kill him. Then one of them said, no, let's not kill him. Let's just throw him in a pit. So, you know, here's this betrayal. He's thrown in a pit. Then they decide to sell him. So they sell him into slavery. He has time as a servant. He has time of false imprisonment. But everywhere Joseph went, where he was, prospered. In every season that he went through, where he was, prospered. Why? Because he didn't wait for the Lord like we can wrongly think of waiting on the Lord. He waited on the Lord, continuing to be who he was in relationship with God, and he continued being a godly man. And because he did that and stayed in his relationship with God and not just sitting back waiting to become a leader, he would still be a servant in the house. He would have never seen the fulfillment of God's promise to him if he had not occupied and continued to prosper in every place that he went to. In every season, people could see that God was with him. It's stated in the scripture. They could see that the Lord was with him. That's occupying. Well, I don't like where I am right now. We'll occupy it. I don't like this season. Well, occupy it. Occupy it. Go back and study him. Go back and look at every season. Look at lessons that you can glean from it. If you don't like where you are, occupy. And realize what that means. And then he occupied each place he was. And the day came that he lived the dream. He saw it manifest. He saw what he had seen in the dream play out into this world's reality. That took something. That took the right kind of waiting. You know, if he had tried to jump ahead of that, which I think was probably a little bit of what happened when he told his brothers he was going to lord over them. we'll talk about the flow of grace here in a minute. Back to Jeremiah 29. Where are we at? Verse 8. Yes, this is what the Lord Almighty, the God of Israel, says. There again, he's clarifying who's talking. Do not let the prophets and diviners among you deceive you. Do not listen to the dreams you encourage them to have. Dylan, can you pull that up on the King James Version for me? Verse 8. Sure you can. Whoever's fastest. Let's see. Let's have one of those speed drills in Sunday school. Jeremiah 29:8. Oh, Sarah's on the move. Now pulling into first place, Bo. Oh, here comes Dylan. Verse 8. Oh, Cody's the winner. Ding, ding, ding. Got to watch those students in the back. They're usually the smart ones, the ones sit up front. I'm just kidding. For thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, let not your prophets and your diviners that be in the midst of you deceive you, neither hearken to your dreams which you cause to be dreamed. Get you a prize after church. Which you caused to be dreamed. What this is people wanting to hear that they're going back to Jerusalem, that they're not going to be in exile any longer. And so guess what the false prophets do? They feed them what they want to hear, and mainly it was for gain. Right? We saw that with Balaam, right? You know, let's do this for money. We got something figured out here. We tell these people, listen, I know the prophetic ministry is it's timely. I believe as the last days get closer and closer, we're going to have more of the prophetic ministry, but you have got to guard yourself. You've got to know the word of God. You've got to be sensitive to your spirit, and you've got to make sure you're not listening to somebody just because they're saying what you want them to say, because that is exactly what he is addressing in this passage. Do not listen to the dreams you encourage them to have. They are prophesying lies to you in my name. I have not sent them, declares the Lord. I love what Barnes' commentary said. Hi, balcony crowd. I just looked up at y'all. Y'all are beautiful. Barnes' commentary said, as long as there is a market for dreams, so long there will be plenty of imposters to supply them. I'll say it again. As long as there is a market for dreams, so long there will be plenty of imposters to supply them. Verse 10, he makes it plain again. This is what the Lord says. This is what the Lord says. When 70 years are completed for Babylon, I will come to you and fulfill my gracious promise to bring you back to this place. You know what, Dave? That's not what they wanted to hear. 70 years? Oh. But God, you promised this. He's telling them the truth. This is how long it's going to take. And God is not here to fluff feathers. He's here to tell us the truth. When he talks to us about the last of the last days, he's telling us the truth. It's not what we want to hear, but he's telling us the truth. And he's telling them the truth. When 70 years are completed for Babylon, I will come to you and fulfill my gracious promise. King James Version says, my good word. I will fulfill my good word. His word is good. And he will still fulfill it. But they're starting to look for other means to talk to them, because they're tired of waiting. You don't have to like where you are to be productive in it. I will come to you and fulfill my good word to bring you back to this place, for I know the plans I have for you. Now you know. Now you see where this verse is coming from. I know the plans I have for you. These dreamers, they don't know. These false prophets, they don't know. I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future. King James Version said, the expected end. What's the expected end? His good word that he said to you. His good word that he spoke to you, whether that was in scripture, in a rhema word to you concerning your personal life, that is the expected end, and that is what we have to keep our eyes on. Did you see that your waiting doesn't have to be a drought? Build houses, marry, have children, grow a garden, eat the fruit of it. Your waiting doesn't have to be a drought. If the time is not yet, occupy. Occupy. Make it a prosperous season just like Joseph did. Romans 8:25 says, but if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. What happens is we lose hope. We lose hope, we start looking for hope. And when we're looking for hope in the wrong places, then we're going to be discouraged. But if we hope for what we do not see, for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. What's key in our waiting? Look at that verse. What's key in our waiting? Two things. Hope. And hope, that hope will produce patience. I'm going to read it to you again. Put it in your situation. But if I hope for that I don't see, then do I with patience wait for it. And I can hear my mother. I always talk about how I can hear my father. Of course, I can still hear my mother. Then do we with patience. What is patience? The ability to stand in adverse circumstances without complaining. I know. Oh, right, Kat? Oh, cheerful endurance. If you want to put it in two words. Cheerful endurance. But if I can hope for that I don't see, then do I, with cheerful endurance, without complaining, wait for it. I don't remember any of the passages about Joseph, him complaining. He was wrongfully accused of rape and imprisoned for it. You know what he did? He kept on being a man of God. He kept on being a man of God, and they could see that God was with him. This we with patience wait for it. The word wait means to expect fully. Oh, I've got to wait. You know, we use it in such a negative term. I had to wait for 2 hours. I had to wait for 5 minutes in the drive-thru. 5 minutes. Took them 5 minutes to cook my hamburger, my french fries, and make my chocolate shake. I had to wait. I realize waiting can be negative in some instances. But what if we start looking at it differently? What if when I say the wait, you go, come on, instead of, oh, she's going to teach on patience. Look, we need patience.
Yes, that's right.
We need patience. We follow those who through faith and patience inherited the promise. Faith and patience. Because it's one thing to start off in faith. It's another thing to finish in faith because you were patient.
So good.
We're using Donnie a lot as an example this morning because he's sitting in front of us as a testimony. But you know what? Donnie came up here to be prayed for at the beginning of those 2 years. And he could have walked away and said, I don't feel any different. He could have walked away and said, the doctors said I still have cancer. He could have walked away and gotten impatient. But through faith and patience, he has inherited the promise. And every time we talked to him, he gave us the word. Even when he let us in the loop on what we need to be praying over, every time he gave us the word that's occupying.
Yes.
That you didn't like where you were, but you were productive there. The Lord began to give me some statements about 2 days ago, and that's where this message came from. I was actually out walking, and he just began to minister to me some things, and I want to end with these today. It'll Don't worry, it'll take a minute. You're not getting out at 11:15. When I'm done, and that's fine, but we're not done. When God graces you or anoints you, puts a dream in your heart for something, that grace has a flow and a rhythm and a timing. Now, Dylan's a drummer, so he's probably really getting this. That grace for that thing, that promise, has a rhythm. It has a flow. It has a timing to it. And you don't want to step out of that rhythm, of that flow, of that timing. Waiting is not a lack of faith. In fact, it takes the most faith. One of the most beautiful parts of the psalmist David's life, I mean, you know, my goodness, slingshot rock, Goliath, bears, lions. I mean, how could it get more exciting than that? Let me tell you how it can get more exciting than that. David, even though he was anointed king by the prophet and knew he was to be king, he did not step out of the rhythm of grace for that calling. He waited. And in his waiting, he occupied. He killed lions and bears and Goliaths and chased down armies. And he did all these magnificent. He didn't sit and wait and say, but I'm the king. I'm the king. I'm going to sit here. I'm the king. I've been anointed king. The prophet anointed me king. He went on doing and occupying. And occupying is not just doing anything, it's doing God things. And that's one of the statements that just went off in me is, yes, you know God's called you to do this. You feel God's call on your life to move in this area, and you're doing things, but it's not God things. Stop it. You're going to knock yourself out of the rhythm of grace that's on you to do what He's called you to do. Go back, do what He's called you to do now. Stay in that rhythm of grace and timing and let Him bring it to pass. That was just so thick. Occupying is not just doing anything, it's doing God things. And that's what David did. Samuel anointed David to be king in 1 Samuel 16. Since we've got time, let's turn there. 1 Samuel 16. Oh, you remember, what a great story. You need to go back and read the whole thing. Be some good reading tonight. Verse 1 says, and the Lord said to Samuel the prophet, how long will you mourn for Saul? Saul was king. People asked for a king. God gave him a king. But Saul got out of rhythm for being the king of God's people. He got out of line. And that anointing that was on him to be king of God's people left him. How long will you mourn for Saul, seeing I have rejected him from reigning over Israel? Fill your horn with oil and go. I will send you to Jesse, and I have provided for me a king among his sons. So you can go back and read all about the different sons that came before him, and he was like, not this one, not this one, not this one. Skip down to 13 for the sake of today. Promise me you'll go back and read this. Then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed David in the midst of his brethren. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. Was the anointing on him to be king? Do you know when he became king? Where are you at right now, 1 Samuel 16? In 2 Samuel 2. That's a lesson. And I love it when things are instant. And sometimes things are. But sometimes there's things in the earth that have to be moved and changed and people worked through, and a maturing of David had to take place. And so David is actually, I don't think there was anything I wanted to read there. Let me jump over here and see. It's in 2 Samuel 2:7. He says, "Therefore, let your hands be strengthened and be valiant, for your master Saul is dead, and also the house of Judah have anointed me king over them." Now, one of the most beautiful things I find in the story of David is that David had multiple opportunities to step out of the flow of grace and take the throne. Oh, you can step out into that ministry now. But if it's not the flow of grace and it's not the time for you to do that, you wait and you occupy and you're productive in your waiting. Yeah, God may have asked, maybe preparing you for that business or this business, or he may be preparing you for marriage, but you don't want to step out of that flow of grace. David had many opportunities to step out and seize the throne, but he would not have reigned with the anointing and grace if he had. He could have killed Saul on multiple occasions. But you know what he said about Saul? He said, "I will not touch God's anointed." But I thought you were anointed to be king. Yeah, but not yet. Not yet. I've watched this in ministry for a lot of years. Associates, youth pastors, not this one. We really haven't dealt with this. Dad dealt with it some back in the day. We haven't dealt with it, but I haven't dealt with it. But wanting to take the leadership of the church. And you don't want that. And we have a great crew, and we talk about things. You know, I tell them where I'm at in life. I tell them, you know, what I'm thinking. We have an open conversation about these things, because if you step out of the rhythm of grace and God's timing for things, there's a reason he doesn't put us into things sooner than we need to be in them when it comes to positions. Right. Now, his healing is ready. He may be walking us through, you know, helping us get to where we can believe his word, but he doesn't withhold healing from us. It's already provided. But putting us into position can take moving people and advancing other people. You know, it can take some orchestration, is the word I'm looking for. But you don't want to be out of timing. David refused. And you know, you think about it. The prophet anointed you with oil, anointed you to be king. And the king that be has tried to kill you on multiple occasions. Saul tried to kill David multiple times, chased him, just spent a lot of time chasing him, occupied himself chasing him. He had a lot of oppressive, demonic-like activity. Evil spirits would come on him, on Saul. And David would see him sleeping with his spear at his side and his water jug at his head. And the servant said, "Let me go in and kill him." And David said, "No. Get his spear, get his water, bring it with you. But don't kill him, because we're not going to touch God's anointed." You might could take that position. You might could seize it. But you want the grace of God on it. And so you wait. And you're productive while you wait. I wish we had time to read that whole thing. It's chapters. You'll enjoy it. Go take a read. If waiting keeps me in the flow of God's grace, if waiting keeps me in the flow of God's grace, if it keeps his anointing able to operate in me and through me and on me and around me, and it prospers where I am, then let's wait. How do I know it's time? You'll know it's time. If God can deal with you and tell you what he wants you to do, and you can feel in your heart that this is the business you're supposed to go into, or that you're supposed to buy land. I think we used me and Rusty the other day as an example a couple of Sundays ago. We knew that land was ours. We knew we were going to buy it. And God kept saying, red light, red light. It was a green light on it being ours. It was a red light on now. Maybe yield might be a better. Maybe it was a yellow light. Maybe it was a yield. You know, put the money back. Start making the provision. And then one day, God said, make the move. Green light. And because I waited for God, no one was hurt in the process. God has a way of doing things that will stay within his character of good. Man, I can tell y'all love this message. Y'all look like you're waiting in the wrong sense. It's good. It'll put joy back in waiting. It's a change of thought. It's a change of perception. God is faithful to the good word he gave you. If we're talking about his good word that he gave you right here, which every single one of us have, which is accessible to every single one of us, or if it was a rhema word to you about your own personal life of where he has a place for you. A ministry for you, a occupation for you, a mate for you. He has a life for you. Just don't want to get out of step. So let's stand and talk to him about it. You want to? You know, when you start to step out of the rhythm, the timing of grace and anointing, you know it. You'll know it. We're learning to trust our spirit. We're learning to hear that inward voice, that inward feeling that says, I know people listening on radio now are going, wonder what her face looks like. It's excruciating. We'll know. And we got to learn to trust that knowing. We got to learn to trust it. And watch what God does. Watch what he does. Father, we just submit our timing to you right now. We submit our timing to you. What we have had in our heads and what, just quite frankly, what we've been discouraged with. What would seem like a delay. Father, we just submit that to you. We stir back up the beautiful things that you've said to us, that you've shown us, that you've put in us. Those are good words. They are your good word to us. We stir them back up. They are not dead. They are being produced in our life, and we will be productive in our waiting. Father, we just repent for the discouraging words where we have not encouraged ourselves, but we've discouraged ourselves with our own mouth. We've opposed ourselves with our own mouth. Father, we just repent of those words. We'll start dreaming again the dream that you gave us, beginning to see and envision, Father, what you've told us about in your word, seeing ourselves living in the fulfillment of the promises. And Father, we determine today, Holy Spirit, remind us to occupy, to be productive, to keep being who you called us to be and not to step out from that, to stay in line with it. Because, Father, if we're in the wrong lane when the opportunity comes that we've been waiting for, we'll miss it. We want in your lane. Only your lane. If it's not your lane, we're giving it up. If it's not your lane, we're giving it up. We're laying it down. It is your will. It is your will that we purpose. It is your will that we desire, because the anointing of God will be there for it. And we thank you. We thank you. We just really feel like we're just laying some things down. Thank you, Father. That you see us, that you know us. You see us and you know us. Father, we know that you know the plans you have for us. You know the plans you have for us. And they're the right plan. We thank you for seeing us. We encourage ourselves with your word and with your presence. We'll be obedient to what you speak to us, Father. If there's any instruction, we want to hear your voice and do it your way. And it'll be a hallelujah from here to there, because we wait patiently without complaining. We wait cheerfully. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. The church said,
Amen.
Amen.